and welcome to Hagmann. It is the Hagmann Report for today. It is Wednesday, the 13th day of August, 2025. It's hard to believe it's August 13th already. I want to apologize to everyone for yesterday. We had a little bit of an issue yesterday. We if you went to the show, it's not there. Well, because we didn't do a show because we had an issue. So I apologize for that. But tonight we're hitting it hard. Our number one is Austin Brower, teamhealthmasters.com. Interestingly, have you gone to that website like today? Have you? Well, you should, because he's going to be, he rolled out a new look to that website, teamhealthmasters.com. He's going to be talking about a lot of things with Austin. And then hour two is going to be Stan Dale from standale.com. So with that, I'm going to turn it right over to Austin. Or Austin, come on board. Talk to me, man.
My friend, it's great to be on the show. Was up all night last night, make sure the rollout was good. Very excited. Team Health Masters 2.0. Everybody's been asking for different updates, kind of tweak things that are better on the last ones. It was kind of a glitchy website occasionally. It worked great, but we want to tweak it better. We want the subscriptions to work better. We wanted the point reward system to work better. We wanted the whole system to work better. And one of the biggest things that everybody kept asking me for is because essentially like every major e-commerce site now is starting to use Shop Pay and different types of platforms you can pay with Venmo, Apple, PayPal, all those different things. I was really opposed to doing it first because I didn't like the terminal. However, I was able to work out some contracts with certain banks that I already work with their virtual terminal and authorize.net to integrate everything. So we have a terminal that takes everything now. I mean, you want to pay on Apple, you want to pay on Venmo, you want to pay with regular credit card, you want to pay on Shop Pay, it's there. You log in, super easy. You use your phone number, your email. Your system's already been transferred over. The only thing we're still working on is getting everybody's points that you can view them. They're over, but you can't see them yet. However, it still builds on new points that you can do. So that'll be updating. If you really need to use your points, you want to burn through them, they're burning a hole in your Health Master's wallet, call us up. We can apply them and get your discount from your points. But as of right now, we're still transferring over as we were doing everything last night, like the vitamin C powder on sale, a bunch of different cool stuff we've got on there. So check it out. You got any questions, you know where to get a hold of us on there. Call us if you need anything. But I'm really excited about it to give a whole kind of new refreshed look. You know, we've been working on it for the last 3-4 months, and I'm really excited to get everybody's feedback on it and see everybody likes it. It's really streamlined, really easy, really fast to check out now. You don't have any problems. So check it out. Get the feedback on it, my friend.
And the people that signed up at that website don't have to re-sign or anything like that as customers?
Correct. All the accounts went over. It's under your phone number, under your email. So it's pretty cool now, too, because if you want to log in, you don't really even have to mess with a password. Once you do it once, it logs in with your Shop Pay account, and it pretty much stays logged in. So as soon as you're like, hey, vitamin C's on sale, I want to grab it. You literally, if I had the screen in front of me, you click add it to your cart, you go to your cart, you click the Shop Pay button, your credit card information, your name, billing, everything's already in there. Boom, submit. It's like 3 clicks and the order's done. It goes right to our office, goes right to the shipping department, and pretty much goes out the same day in most cases. Or you can still use our VIP express shipping, which we get everybody in about 2 to 3 business days with the UPS Express. So everything's the same, but a lot better. That's the way it's kind of supposed to be, right? You don't really want to do something unless you're going to make it better. That's what
there
we
you
did.
Go. There you go. I appreciate that. All right. Start anywhere, my friend. Let's start.
One thing I was going to ask you about and get your feedback on it, because I haven't really followed it much. I'll be honest with you. Had a lot going on last weekend. Saw some stuff was going on. Been on the website for the last 3-4 days working on that. I saw earlier now that essentially federal agents and National Guard are going to start 24/7 roving patrols through Washington, D.C. What's going on with that? Because I've watched some of it. I've seen some people been asking me about it. I've been behind the curves. I've been either straight health master for the last like week. And I know they said that if crime's getting out of control. So are they saying now we're going to have National Guard basically patrolling, doing, you know, squads walking around the street all night long?
Interesting you should ask that. How can I put this? There is, yes, I mean, yes, yes, and yes. It's going to be National Guard on the streets of Washington. Now, this, I think the last time this happened was 1973, if I'm not mistaken. I have to go back to check on that. However, they're going to be working in tandem with the other federal agencies as well as the DC police. But the problem here is the out of control crime rate. And if you watch the news, for example, CNN or any of the news, any of the cable news networks, crime is down in DC. Oh, it's down. Well, what they did was they're screwing with the figures that they've taken the statistics out from the juvenile or under 18 crowd, which.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. So if you look at it that way, yeah, crime would be down, but really it is insanely. So it went from insanely high to extremely high by taking the juvenile records up. So it's still insanely high. And yes, the National Guard, they've got I believe it's a 30-day mandate until they have to get authorized from Congress. So it could get interesting. And of course, there's also that people are saying, well, you know, this could really lead into something authoritarian. And I get that. Look, I don't know how I feel about this, except to say, I'd like to be able to walk down the street of my nation's capital without fear of being killed. Okay. However,
yeah.
I think that would be better done at the local level, not at the federal level, because they're talking about doing this in other cities as well.
That was kind of my question about it, because I've been to DC multiple times and the crime rate out there is pretty, there's some parts of DC, especially late at night, it gets pretty sketchy. So I understand them kind of putting a squash on. This is going to stop crime a lot. I mean, you got National Guard walking around with M4s all night. I mean, that's going to be a deterrent, a big deterrent, which a lot of these people need. But like you kind of said, is this going to be kind of a beta test to see? Because I know like other places, like, you know, in California and stuff, when they had the riots, they deploy them and then they pull them back and they keep them, you know, essentially at one of the bases, forward operating bases. This is kind of, though, they're talking about doing roving patrols 24/7. I'm assuming enforcing curfews too. Did I hear right? They're putting like a 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. curfew as well.
You know, that I'm not sure. Eric,
if I couldn't verify that.
If you have a second on LD, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 now. Or no. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It would be the 7th one down in the top left. Scott Jennings, educating CNN panel about the DC cleanup experiment. This has a lot of great information, and I should have put this in. I apologize for it. Eric Tech, if you can do that, I don't know. Did you find that? And can we do that? Okay. All right. This is just under 2 minutes, Austin. This will kind of give you everything that you need to know, I think. And we'll all be up to speed then. How's that? So here it is, Scott Jennings on CNN. Here it is.
Well, the polling that you showed earlier, combining people who thought crime is an extreme problem or crime is a moderate problem, was 91%.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is,
I totally agree.
So 91% of people who live in a jurisdiction think it's a moderate or an extreme problem. This is not a figment of anyone's imagination. This is not mass hysteria. This isn't, you know, some, you know, collective hallucination. It's real. People who live there know they aren't safe. And so I don't know, Chuck, why anybody would care whether it's a police officer, to Arthur, to your point, or a National Guardsman or a park police who also were out patrolling, apparently. I don't know why they would care if there are more eyes and ears on the street that makes them feel like if somebody is going to do something criminal or violent or untoward, there may be a greater chance that someone sees it. And so it's a 30-day project. Last night, there were 23 arrests, and they also picked up some illegal guns, which the mayor was just talking about and the police chief were just talking about. Why don't we give them 30 days, see the results, and then maybe the residents of D.C. and the leadership of D.C. can say, well, this worked, this didn't, here's how we could tweak it and do better. It's a 30-day.
By the way, I find it interesting, and probably it's a good thing, that Republicans now are talking about illegal guns on the streets, because prior to, that was always the one thing that was never the cause of crime, was guns on the streets. And those officers, to your point, Scott, are out there, and they're picking up illegal guns, which frankly, maybe Democrats and Republicans are meeting in the middle here on this. Mm-hmm. That is an issue in just the district and in a lot of parts of the country.
Well, Republicans aren't for illegal guns. Republicans are for responsible gun ownership.
Well, because Donald Trump.
A lot of Republicans believe that D.C.'s gun laws are illegal, that they are overbearing.
Well, that's different.
And so those gun laws being guns. Well, those guns, those laws being violated. Suggest that it's DC's
right,
gun law.
I'm sorry. I thought there was a clip, and I apologize, Austin. There was a clip with Scott Jennings explaining the whole thing. My apologies, but
she's a trip though. Like,
yeah,
that was funny though, because it's like she goes right into the fact of, well, Republicans don't care about illegal guns. Well, the problem with it in DC is that law-abiding citizens don't carry guns because they can't carry guns because it's illegal. Only criminals who are involved in crime committing illegal acts carry guns. And that's one of the reasons why, in my opinion, crime is so high down there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, down here in Central Florida, we're in Polk County. I don't know a singular person that does not own a firearm down here in Central Florida. I rarely don't know of anybody that actually carries one or in their vehicle. And yet, do we have crime? Sure. But I'll tell you what, everybody knows it's equal mass destruction. If you get in a gunfight with somebody, they're going to have a gun too. And quite frankly, our sheriff tells everybody, if you break into somebody's house, you try to break in their window, you try to go in their door, you try to do anything you shouldn't be doing, you just need to blow them back out the door and shoot them. They have no business being in your house, trespassing, trying to do you bodily harm. Just shoot them. And the problem is, when you take that concept, it's really quite simple to understand, and criminals understand it as well. And you go, hey, law-abiding citizens, you cannot own firearms because we don't trust you. Well, the criminals, nobody goes, well, I can't carry a firearm while I'm in the act of burglary right now, or I'm in the middle of a home invasion. I can't carry a firearm because it's illegal. They're already committing crimes. What's one more thing on the docket? It's not. So that concept's always eluded some of these people, which is kind of funny to me.
Oh, I hear you with that. Definitely. It's insane. To me, any gun law is anti-constitutional. I believe that it's simple as that. So stop it already. DC, whatever state, New York, stop it. Illinois, stop it. It's anti-constitutional. Maybe in the next couple of years, we'll see that change. All right, sir.
Well, there's a story that came up the other day. I was listening to it. It was on a podcast, and it was funny because these group of guys came down from New York. And, you know, and I'm not picking on New Yorkers at all, but New Yorkers, it doesn't matter where New Yorkers go, they think New York is like the greatest state that's ever existed. It doesn't matter where they go, New York, New York, New York. I'm like, okay, whatever, you're proud from New York. Well, apparently they came down here to Florida, and they were down in Miami for the Hialeah area, which is wild west over there. And they went like a KFC, and I guess there was a group of guys in there, and they butted in front of all of them. And they said, New York's here, we're ordering food, move out of the way. They cut like the entire line of KFC and ordered food. Well, they got their food and walked out of the car, and the guys they butted in front of, these guys are criminals too, so I'm not sticking up for them. They went out there and they pulled pistols on all the guys from New York and stole all their watches and took their food. And just to do it, it basically said, you want to come down to Florida and you want to act like you're better than us? Next time we're going to kill you. And there's a whole report on it down there. I started laughing.
Jeez.
And I... Florida is not the state to be butting lines and demanding how your state's better than everybody else, because quite frankly, you may be doing that if somebody's got a machine pistol stuck in their pants. And you just best just leave everybody alone down here and just let us be. Some people got some short fuses and some big magazines, and those two don't go together all the time in a positive manner. It's my opinion.
Well, South Florida, though, is really, I think once you get past I don't know, Alligator Alley. Things change a little bit, right?
West Palm, once you get around Palm Beach, you start going south. But yeah. I mean, it's still, honestly, I still think Jacksonville's probably worse. I mean, but Miami has more crime, but Jacksonville's, I used to live in Jacksonville. I used to work for ICF Builders. And, you know, at least Miami's got nice beaches down there, like Jacksonville.
That's true.
Those two. But anyways, I digress. This is a new study, new article, new research that came out that I really wanted to address involving artificial sweeteners. And it kind of goes into detail with sucralose. I've talked about it for years, why you need to keep sucralose out of your diet. This one now is discussing sucralose and how it reduces cancer. treatment effectiveness, bringing up this article, but when they actually address the mechanism of what it does to the body, why it reduces the effectiveness of cancer treatment, and why, even if you don't have cancer, you're healthy, why the product is so bad for you. This is the yellow packet. This is Splenda. This is sucralose. The problem is almost everything you look at now with like gum, candy, even a lot of cakes, food, anything that's sugar-free, they almost always use Splenda or sucralose, and I always look for it on the ingredient list. And it says the study found that cancer patients who included high levels of artificial sweetener sucralose in their diet had a poor response to certain cancer treatments. The research study published in Cancer Discovery examined 132 patients with advanced melanoma or non-small cell lung cancer, along with animal studies that revealed the biological mechanism behind the connection. This is what I was curious about. So using a mouse model of lung and skin cancer, they discovered that sucralose depletes the amino acid arginine by increasing bacteria in the gut to break it down. Now, arginine is one of the precursors to nitric oxide. Arginine and citrulline are crucial for basically nitric oxide, which is incredibly good for blood flow, vasodilation, and a host of other things. And it goes into detail here. It says the reduction in arginine levels in the blood, tumor fluid, and stool was linked to decreased effectiveness in immune-based cancer treatments. They said while arginine levels were depleted due to sucralose-driven shifts in the microbe, T cells also couldn't function properly. As a result, immunotherapy wasn't as effective in mice that were fed sucralose. And the simple solution is this, is that sucralose is a chlorocarbon. It's essentially based on a pesticide ingredient. They take sugar atoms, they take a sugar molecule, they take the atoms off it, they put chlorine atoms and replace it. So what happens is when you ingest sucralose and it mixes with hydrochloric acid, it releases chlorine in the body. So I'm not going to go into a ton of detail. I'll post this on the website if people want to look into it more. But sucralose is unbelievably bad as far as on the system, what it does to the kidneys, what it does to the gut microbe. And again, here now they're showing people that are on cancer treatment, if they're taking sucralose products, which a lot of people do, it massively reduces the cancer treatment effectiveness. So another reason why to stay off that, the best thing to do if you're going to use, you want to use a sweetener that's not sugar-based, is either Stevia or monk fruit. Those two are the best ones, but stay away from sucralose or Splenda. Those are really the ones you want to stay away from, and aspartame. There's nothing good on those at all.
Would you say that's sucralose is worse than pure cane sugar, for example? Or
oh, absolutely.
Okay,
I do. All right. I mean, again, if you're trying to use, you know, half a cup of cane sugar in your iced tea every day, that's not real good for the liver either.
Right.
But I mean, if you're using it and you're sweetening something with it, I think it's much. Your body can process some of the sugar. Your liver can process it. If your pancreas is decent, it can handle it. You know, especially if you take some berberine or cinnamon extract. But using sucralose, it wipes out the gut microbe, man. And it's really, really hard on the entire system because it's so toxic. It takes like 2 to 3 days for the body to process it out. So it continually starts to build up a toxic effect, especially if you're using it on a daily basis. And that the cane sugar in the brown packet, in my opinion, a lot better than any of those. If you can, use the stevia or use monk fruit. Those two are the absolute best, but stay away from stay away from the yellow, which is the sucralose one. Got I'm trying to remember all these different colors and names for it.
Yeah, no yellow or no blue. Definitely no blue.
Yeah, no blue or yellow.
Or what was the other one? Pink?
The other one is sweet and low. That's sodium saccharin. That one's really not very good either. That one's been around for a while, though. And the side effects and what it does to the body is much less disastrous, I think, than sucralose. So, I mean, if I had to use one of the three, it was pink, blue, or yellow, I would use pink, but I don't use any of them. So, but that's, if I was in a bind, I had to have some, but I couldn't control myself, and I had to have a sweet, the sodium saccharin and the pinks, even better than the sucralose or the aspartame. Both of those are just, they're just bad.
Yeah. I was watching an old show the other day, and they were pushing, on the tables, they were pushing. What was that? Saccharin, I guess. Saccharin?
Pink one?
Saccharin. Whatever. But I'm thinking, wow. It was just weird to see. Kind of like a woman sitting in a bar being 8 months pregnant, you know, having a beer and smoking a cigarette. So
smoking a Marlboro Red.
Yeah, really. All right, sir. Good to know.
Well, that's funny. But the also, too, there's another study that came out now that I was looking at. And this was basically from a doctor that was actually looking at high doses of vitamin C and what it does to cancer. Now, again, this is not my claim or any. I'm not making any medical claim or any cancer claim at all. This is what this doctor was discussing, Professor Ian Brighthope, who's a founding president of the Australian College of Nutrition and Environmental Medicine for more than 28 years, was discussing high doses of vitamin C in cancer care. Now, and I sent you the article, and it says vitamin C is a powerful antioxidant that helps protect the cells in the body. And this goes into detail when he's using it as intravenous. He said high dose of vitamin C intravenous produces hydrogen peroxide, which damage the cancer cells. And also the high dose vitamin C helps trigger cells to die, a process called adipocytosis. It says it also helps make more collagen, which can slow the growth and spread of cancer. That's why the collagen formula we have, everybody loves this stuff, what it does for your joints, what it does for your skin, what it does for your nails. It says vitamin C also stops cancer from growing new blood vessels, which is a huge factor because it essentially pauses it in its tracks. So that's another reason why I've always told people, got to stay on high doses of vitamin C all the way around. If you need to get intravenous, that's the next option if you can do. But generally, like the vitamin C powder that we have on sale, that's great because you can do like 2,000 milligrams 2 to 3 times a day with food, and it's pretty much as bioavailable as you're going to get, and it really doesn't have any gut issues as far as digestion or diarrhea. If you take about 2,000 multiple times a day with food, and it really gets your vitamin C blood plasmas up, which maintains a healthy immune system. Because, I mean, I could discuss an article earlier on the show today on our show, and it's discussing how essentially scurvy is coming back now in kids. And I mean, scurvy, we're in 2025. I mean, you need 60 milligrams a day of vitamin C to prevent scurvy. And they're talking about scurvy as making a resurgence, a comeback with young kids.
Oh,
and
wow.
It just shocks me. You know, Doug, I'm like, scurvy?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Scurvy. Okay. And yeah, we're the healthiest or supposed to be the healthiest nation on the planet. Okay. Yeah. Scurvy.
Yeah. The most drugged down nation on the planet.
Yeah, really. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So that's why I always tell everybody, I'm like, you got to make sure your kids are getting dosed. If you want to use the capsules, the chewable, the vitamin C gummies we have, give them at least a couple doses, you know, or at least one dose a day, multiple doses throughout the week to keep their vitamin C up. Because it really, especially now going back to school, that's why we put the back to school kids program together. There's just two main products. Both of them are really, really good. The omega-3s and also the multiple chewable, which has vitamin C in it. You can add more vitamin C if you want to with our other supplements, but it's children's back to school special for under $65. You can't beat that for the omega-3 fat and the multivitamin you're getting. And it feeds multiple kids throughout the month. And it works great, keeps them strong, keeps them healthy, keeps them mentally acute. You cut the dyes out of their diet. You cut the high fructose corn syrup and the processed carbs out of their diet. You'll be shocked on how much better they function in school and how much better they do with learning and reducing ADHD symptoms. Because a lot of that is diet and nutrient deficiency. This contributes to a lot of that, Doug.
Interesting you should point that out. So if you have a hyperactive child, check out the Health Masters. Definitely the essentially the back to school special, whatever you're calling that. And I apologize. I didn't see that. That could very well assist in that hyperactivity, or on the flip side, if there's some lethargy there, it could help with that too, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing is omega-3 fats are crucial for young kids because their body's burning through them. They're so active. They're growing and they're growing at an exponential rate compared to adults. Adults are done growing. These kids are growing by the month. And so omega-3 fats are crucial for so many functions. And then the multiple chewable hits all the buttons with the D3, with vitamin C, with all their minerals, all their vitamins. And that's, again, I've worked with so many parents that have been friends of mine, that have been listeners, that have been customers. They come into the office and they're like, hey, or they're emailing me, they're calling me. I don't want to do my kids. I can't get them to behave. I said, well, first off, you got to have some discipline and structure. That's the first thing off.
Yep.
Giving them an iPad every time they whine, coddling them every time they cry, treating them like a little princess animal because they are upset for something. That doesn't work. You got to have some good discipline and some good structure. Secondly, you got to clean up their diet. You got to get all this sugar out of their diet because if you look at it now, they're saying like 60% of children, I think it's like under the age of 12, like 60%, all right, excuse me, children under the age of 12, 60% of their diet is processed foods. I just covered it last week on the show. And I mean, when you start thinking about it, and that's processed, that's chips, cookies, I mean, just junk, complete processed junk. And chicken nuggets. I mean, that's why every time he goes, where kids are, chicken nuggets and fries, chicken nuggets and fries. You know, on a rare occasion, if they're going to do that, you can get something that's cooked in a decent oil, like peanut oil or something, you're making yourself. Okay. But just eating processed shit. I mean, food, excuse my language, but processed crap.
That's what
all
it
day
is,
long.
Man. Yeah.
It really is, man. I mean, you look at some of the food structures, some of the food balance, and so it's dog, some high end dog food is better than what you feed kids. at processed stores. And there's a video. I need to see if I can find it real quick and send it to Eric. Because somebody's asked me the other day about burgers. And they're like, Austin, you know, I know you like burgers. If you're going to eat a burger, where do you go? And I'm like, there's pretty much only one place I'll eat a burger. And everybody's going to be shocked when I say it. And it's Five Guys. I know people that worked at Five Guys. I know where they get the meat down here from Five Guys. They use peanut oil in their fryers for their french fries. They don't use soybean oil. They don't use canola oil. It's a burger. I'm not sitting here telling you it's healthy. I'm not telling you to eat it all the time. You asked me a question if I was going to eat one, where I'd eat one. And it's ironic. There's a video that came out the other day, and a guy got a Burger King Whopper, a Big Mac, and a Five Guys burger. Put them in, ordered them just like they were, left them as is, put the bags in his garage, 30 days. Didn't touch them. Get some McDonald's out. The burger looks identical as it did the day he ordered it. I mean, did not change. There's not even a lick of fuzz on it. Nothing. Pulls out the Whopper. It's got a couple patches of some green growing, a little bit. He opens the Five Guys. He opens the foil. He's like, dude, I can't even breathe right now. It's one giant black fur ball of like mold and fungus that's like disintegrates the ball. There's nothing there. And he goes, clearly you see which ones has more preservatives and has more chemicals and solidifiers in it. He goes, Big Mac didn't even change. It looks the same as it did 30 days ago. Nothing will eat it. He goes, the Five Guys burger is literally just a ball of mush and fuzz and fungus and, you know, mold. And I sent that to a buddy of mine because he was asking about that. I said, this isn't my all-out sales approach. I don't have stock in Five Guys. But if I was going to eat one, that's where I'd eat. If I had my kids eat that, that's where they eat. I won't touch any of that. That's the only fast food place that I would eat at. And that's on a rare occasion I will put. But McDonald's,
you know what?
Pay me to eat McDonald's. You gave me money, I wouldn't eat it. Like, it's that bad.
No, believe me, I wouldn't either. I've learned so much over the last couple of, since you've been on, really. But one thing I've noticed, even hamburger that you buy from the store, it seems to keep its color longer. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes me think, why not? And this is easy to do, folks. I'm telling you, it's really all it takes is a $39 attachment for a blender, depending on the blender you have, but to grind your own make your own hamburger. That's just my view on things, but I'm looking at hamburger from the store with kind of a little bit of a, what is that? You know, why is it after a week and a half, which to me, it's no meat should ever last a week and a half. I don't know.
Well, a lot of the times people don't realize this. A lot of times at the processing facilities, they will actually hit the meat. They'll treat it with carbon monoxide, which helps artificially maintain that red color. Because you're exactly right. This beef just got processed a week or 2 weeks ago, and it's so vibrant and full. It looks like they just butchered it 20 minutes and packed it for you. And that's a lot of times that's because they hit it with carbon monoxide and almost it stops basically the whole chemical reaction of what's going on with it. And that's kind of weird. That's why a lot of times you get some of the stuff that's like the raw, 100% grass-fed, untouched beef. You'll notice you have it in your fridge for a couple of days. Even if it's pretty fresh, it'll start getting that kind of that darker color to it. It start turning a little bit more grayer. Because, you know, but again, the packaging, the carbon monoxide, that's a lot of times how they do it, for they seal it up, for they vacuum seal it. And then just some of this stuff, it's like it was processed a month ago and it's still bright red. And you're like,
yeah,
nah, I don't know. I don't know what the heck's that's even more stuff they're adding to it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, they can't be good. Anyway, Health Masters, teamhealthmasters.com. That's the website to go to. Teamhealthmasters.com, folks. Go there. Check it out. Brand new website. Well, see, it was new. Now it's just tweaked up better. And there are easier features, and I like easy. So teamhealthmasters.com. And while you're there too, you can also listen to the Ted and Austin Brower Show, broadcast every weekday. Ted and Austin Brower. I had the opportunity, you folks didn't, but I did, to speak with Ted on air, well, right before airtime. And he's doing very well. Sends his regards and looks good. My goodness, looks good.
I'm gonna try to drag him on the show for you one night. Yeah. He always goes to bed early. He's like, I'm not, it's too late, Austin. He's like, you stay up all night, you can do all that. I'm like, but I don't stay up night by will. I'm like, I'm always working on something. I'm like, and I like doing the show with Doug. I'll drag him on the show one of these days. I'm sure
he'll do some This
wild
is good.
Topics that he always goes into on here, and you guys will have a fun show with that. So yeah, I'll get him back on eventually. I promise you on that one.
All right.
This is a crazy article now that's coming out with the FDA. This boggles my mind because I'm still trying to fathom the fact that this is actually approved for 6-month-olds. The FDA is talking about ending the emergency authorization of Pfizer COVID vaccines for kids under 5. The CDC told state and local health departments that the FDA is ending the emergency authorization for Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine under 5, but will fully license the shot for kids age 12 and up. So still going to be on the vaccine children's shot schedule. We couldn't get rid of it, but they're removing the emergency use authorization. Now, the biggest question I had to this, and I'm trying to understand this, how in the hell this shot is still in an emergency use at the middle end of 2025? This shot's been out for almost 5 years now. We now know it does not stop any type of COVID transmission. It doesn't stop you from contracting COVID whatsoever. We have never seen any significant clinical trials with young children and long-term safety data or testing on what the shot does to a 6-month-old when they're injected with RNA gene therapy. Zero. None. Pfizer's produced not a lick. Moderna, none. They've never shown any long-term testing. But yet it's been on the shot schedule for 5 years now under emergency use authorization. Now they're pulling it off suddenly. Is it because they're starting to see the side effects and they can't step away from them? Is it because they're trying to cover their butt? Is it because they're getting a license for 12 and up? I don't know yet. This just came out today, but it's very disturbing to me the fact that they still have allowed this shot to roll under emergency use authorization. Because if you look back at the history of EUAs with drugs or vaccines, it's something that has no other viable option or cure. It's the only option right now to use, and it's basically a life or death situation for a society. So they issued emergency use authorization to get the product past all the roadblocks so it doesn't have to go through normal testing or safety data. That's what they did with Operation Warp Speed. Well, it's been 5 years now. The Vayner's report shows the massive increase of death. Moderna even had to change their insert, and Pfizer had to change their insert on the vaccine to show that myocarditis and pericarditis are a very serious, true, common side effect from the shot. But yet we're still giving it to 6-month-olds at pediatrician's office, and we're saying that it's safe and effective. I feel like sometimes, Doug, and I don't know if it's just me, maybe I'm just getting so far out there, I feel like I'm living in the twilight zone sometimes. Why any parent that has any type of a brain or has any research under their belt would look at this and go, yeah, this shot's half pulled off the market. They won't try to push it anymore, but they're approving it, but it's an emergency use authorization. There's no safety studies done on it for long-term usage, but I'm injected in my 6-month-old, who, by the way, I will add, young children have virtually zero death risk or fatality risk from COVID-19 now. They've shown that because the majority of the kids have already been exposed to it in natural immunity selection. So getting a shot for a young child right now for a vaccine for a virus that's already basically on its, like, I don't know, 50th variant that they've mutated, who knows, doesn't make any sense from a cost-benefit analysis or a cost-risk analysis when you look at the side effects from the shot. So I don't know. I'm going to follow this more, but I know the FDA has been doing a lot of stuff because Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been on their butt for good reason. But this is a strange one to me, so I'll keep everybody apprised on it. But
Kennedy's shining, in my view, with a lot of what he's doing. I think he has kind of somewhat of a chain on him yet. Oh, yeah. Okay. But it's loosened. I think he's done more as a in his cabinet position than other cabinet members. That's just my view. You look at the Russiagate coming, the attempted coup, and of course we're being promised by Patel and Bondi. Oh, hey, things are going to high level charges. Yeah, I don't see that coming. Okay, I don't. But with respect to when you balance out the cabinet positions. And other positions under the cabinets in the cabinet positions, I think that RFK Jr. is doing quite well. So hopefully we'll get to the point where the entirety of the shots, the lethality of the shots, will be exposed and people will be held to account. I don't ever expect to see Fauci in handcuffs, although that's I got to be careful.
That'd be ideal, but that's not, I don't think that's going to happen. You know,
I have different ideas, and I'll leave it up to we the people to take care of that. So,
Well, I think you're right, though. I mean, RFK Jr., he's been doing a ton. I mean, but you definitely know he's got some handcuffs on with this, because, I mean, essentially what he's done is he's gone completely against the pharmaceutical industrial complex and big agri and big processed food and everything with what he's been doing and calling out high fructose corn syrup and calling out food coloring and calling out these vaccines. I mean, he just took on one of the biggest industrial complexes in the entire world. Big Pharma does not like to be addressed. They do not like to be called out. And you got somebody in position, they can't shut up. It's weird, too, because it's like he's also a Kennedy. So it's like you don't know how much power he holds in certain areas, how much he can swing it. And it's like, so they can't really do everything to him. And he's in this position where he's got a ton of autonomy and authority now. And he's really calling some stuff out. And the biggest thing that I think that's happened a lot is even if he can't get everything done, you know, in this short period, if he's out, you know, with Trump in 4 years, whatever happens, if they gets removed, he's at least bringing stuff to light and making people question it and do their own research now. They're actually looking at it and going, well, what did RFK talk about? I don't agree with everything he says. He sounds a little wild sometimes, but that's pretty wild because I know I've heard some stuff about this, and now he's saying it. Now they're discussing it, the FDA. Now this is going on, and they start looking it up. Because one of the biggest things you could do, I mean, ignorance and basically willful ignorance now in 2025 is not – it's not an excuse anymore. I'm sorry. People say, well, I didn't know anything about that. You know, I'll talk to some people, and they won't know a single thing about food, high fructose corn syrup, vaccines, anything remotely health-related at all. Zero. I mean, it's like talking to a calf in a new gate. Be it you bring up NFL, and they'll tell you their teams, every player, their number, their plays, their touchdowns for the last 30 years and how many games they've won. And I'm like, well, that's cool. That's impressive for NFL stats. But, like, did you know high fructose corn syrup is the number one compound that's attributed to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease in children and adults? Oh, what's that mean? So you're more concerned about a bunch of dudes that are throwing a ball together for the last 30 years for a team that you don't play for, that you don't even care about what your child is ingesting in their own body. It's going to probably have a lot of significant long-term side effects as they get older. It's a little balance here. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody right now, but you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, dude, set your priorities straight. My gosh.
Like, it blows my mind too. The people who criticize others who do their own research.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the internet. Well, okay, the internet is the framework that you use to do the research, that you use to access peer-reviewed papers, scientific papers. That's the research. It's not the internet. It's not, oh, I got my stuff off the... No, you got it through peer research documents, the peer research papers, scientific journals. That's the internet's just how you access it. So shut up.
A framework. The internet's neither good nor bad overall. Right. What's on the internet can be good nor bad, but the overall framework of it is just the World Wide Web. It's just what it is. It's here. Yeah. It will never go away. So, I mean, you work around it, get what you're done with it, handle it right. You know, I was talking to one of my friends, you know, this topic gets brought up all the time now. I was with one of my friends, went to a car show over the weekend, and I had my son, he had his daughter, and he's the same way I am with him. Like, she doesn't have a tablet. She's one tablet for the private school she's in, Christian private school. But other than that, like, she doesn't have a phone. She doesn't get to play on the internet all the time. You know, they keep it massively controlled, because we were talking about it, and I said, these young kids now, there's so much stuff on the internet they do not need to be exposed to at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years old. And I said, you've got to actually be an involved parent. I said, you can't sit there and wonder, why is my child turning into a complete pervert derelict, but then not have any understanding or any involvement of their entire life, because you put them in front of an iPad or a TV as soon as they get home from the communist indoctrination camp that we call the public school system, sit in front of a TV or iPad till 10 o'clock at night, feed them Doritos and chips all the time where they're getting their MSG dopamine triggers while they're watching their dopamine hits on YouTube or whatever else they're seeing online, go to bed, go back to school in the morning, and do the whole thing over again, and you wonder why the child's having behavioral problems, you wonder why the child's having, you know, cognitive functioning problems and focus problems and all these issues. Look at what you're putting in, garbage out, positive in, positive out. And it's a really easy concept, and it's a really easy equation, but for some odd reason, it eludes a lot of people. And that's why I try to encourage people the best I can to really, if you don't want to do the research, check out our show. We got tons of articles. Check out your show. But I appreciate all the supporters of Team Health Masters and everybody that gets your product from us, that emails us, that forwards the show. Thank you for guys supporting Hagmann Report. We can't keep these shows on the air and bringing you all this research without your support. It takes too much time and too much money and too much energy and too much airtime to keep it rolling. And so if you guys enjoy it, thank you for supporting Doug. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for getting the truth out there, because as we do this, the knowledge base continues to expand as more and more people learn and more people talk. Just simply a snowball effect. And we're getting that now a lot. It's starting to happen, Doug.
Yes. Thanks for mentioning that, too. I really appreciate that. And folks, do support Health Masters and support this platform if you like it. If you don't, then don't. Simple as that. Okay, then we'll go away and we'll just go away. And you know, but I'll tell
bye-bye.
You what,
cruel world.
I happened to see in the chat somebody was talking about their liver having a relative, a sister actually passing away prior to 50. Never drank a drink in their lives, but actually high fructose corn syrup really did number on the liver. And is there a way, or what do you have that would, aside from the cleanse, now we know about that, in addition to that, what do you have that would be good for liver health? Speaking of that, since I just saw that in the chat.
The first thing you got to do is you got to find out and isolate what's the direct issue that's causing the damage and the inflammation of the liver, whether it be high doses of Tylenol, whether it be high doses of alcohol, whether it be high fructose corn syrup. You got to figure out what you're ingesting that's really toxic to the liver, and you got to eliminate that first. That's the first is elimination.
Okay.
Then you got to go and you got to start detoxing. And one of the best ways to do that is, you already nailed it, the GHI cleanse. This product right here is a standalone. Nothing on the market beats it. I built it as good as I could. I threw the kitchen sink at it in really true high clinical doses. And the difference of what I did on this product is the supplement facts. I put them all there for you to look at, and full breakdown of every ingredient I have. There's no proprietary blends. I don't have all these fancy names and then 1500 milligrams of my proprietary blend. And then people go, oh yeah, it's great. I've had so many people send me products, and they've got some good looking ingredients on the list. Proprietary blend, 10,000, 2,000 milligrams. Can't find a single place where it tells what each ingredient has in it. If it's on the label and it's a proprietary blend, I'm going to let you know this from a supplement fact standpoint. They can have 1 milligram of an acetylcysteine in it, and they can put that on the label as a proprietary blend.
But it's proprietary.
All my stuff is assay tested.
Yes,
third-party tested. It's got what it's got in it. You want to take this run to the lab? I will stand on it 100%. I'll give you full money back and more if it doesn't match on it. That's how picky I am about my products. That's why this product works. The next thing you can do if you really need some significant liver support is the product Liver Support. That's high-dose milk thistle, high-dose alpha-lipoic acid, and high-dose N-acetylcysteine. Those three are an enormously effective compound. This already has that in it, except the Liver Support is a capsule form, and it's high-dose of just those three. So you can tag that in conjunction with the GHI cleanse and really, really get the ultimate detox and repair effect on the liver. And quite frankly, those two right there, they do a great job if you start with the elimination diet out the gate.
Get fantastic. So there you have it. And you know, yeah, my condolences to anyone who have passed away from that. You know, it's again, look at photographs from the 50s, 60s, 70s of Americans at beaches and swimming pools.
Yep.
Compare them to today, and you can see the downward trend, the upward trend of weight, downward trend of health that we've experienced over the last couple of, last half century, really. So
no, it's horrible. Go. I mean, you know, I gosh, it was the other day. I was at a resort with the kids. I took Hunter and Kendall, and it was in Orlando, and this couple showed up, and they had like somebody there supporting them, and they were morbidly obese. They had scooters to get to the pool, and then they had to use the chair to get in the pool. They're probably, I don't know, 500, 550, 600 pounds. Couldn't walk. Had to get picked up, and it wasn't like they were injured. You could just tell. I mean, and then when they're over there, they got like a section. And I'm not joking with you, Doug. The amount of food that they ordered, it probably could have fed 10, 15 people easy. I mean, they were bringing trays of buffet this and pizza this. And they're over there the entire time once they get out of the pool. Raw, 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 raw. I mean, nonstop. And I'm not picking on them. But it reaches a certain point where you go, dude, what are you doing? Like, I mean, I guess at that point you're planning on dying soon. Your body can't function at 600 pounds very long. You can't even walk. And I mean, I just saw that and I'm sitting there going like, God, dude, if you knew what you looked like to everybody else. And then people wonder why they're sick. And again, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, making you feel self-conscious, but at the end of the day, your health's your responsibility. You can't sit there and expect the doctor to fix you or the drugs to fix you or all these other things to fix you. It's up to you. Cut your calories back. Take the proper supplements like the berberine and cinnamon extract. Cut the toxins out of your food and get back under control where you need to be. Sometimes it gets out of control. Sometimes that happens to people. The biggest thing is monitoring as it goes along. It's like you got service intervals on your car, right? Everybody knows every 3,000 to 5,000, 6,000 miles, whatever your type of oil you have in your car, you take it to service. You need new tires rotation. You service on it. You take care of your body. You do general maintenance on it. If you drive your car for 100,000 miles, never change the oil, never change the tires, never change the spark plugs, it's probably going to run like crap. And then you're going to go, why is it running crappy? I don't know. Cause you ran it to the ground and didn't take care of it for a year, 10 years, 5 years. Don't be surprised when stuff starts going sideways on you like that. And so, again, you can still come back. You can still change your diet. You can still make change. You can still get better. You can still feel better. You can still do all these things. But you've got to take a certain point where you go, I'm not going to do this anymore. There's an article that just came out now, and it says Beyond Muscle. I sent it to Eric. It says how protein supports your nervous system. From food to memory, protein keeps the brain sharp and resilient with age, not just for muscle growth or muscle repair. It says protein isn't just essential for building muscle. From the earliest stage of development, it supports the structure and function of the nervous system, helping a child reach their full cognitive potential later in life. Through adulthood, protein continues to fuel critical brain processes like neurotransmitter production, cellular signaling, neuroplasticity, nerve cell repair, and a whole host of other things in here. And so what happens is America now has like the lowest health quality, the lowest quality protein intake of like any point in time in history. Any protein that most people get now, in most cases, heavily processed. It's trash. They don't get real clean, good food anymore. Hardly anybody I know, well, not anybody, no, I said a lot of people I know, hardly anybody I talk to that's having health problems eats multiple organic eggs every day on a regular basis. Don't know of any. And that's a question I ask a lot of people sometimes. They're having health problems, they're having weight problems. How many eggs you eat today? Eggs. I don't know. I had some scrambled eggs at, IHOP 2 years ago. I'm like, oh, wow. It shows. But, you know, again, looking at high eggs, I love eggs because eggs are a complete protein to support brain and muscle function. They're the most bioavailable protein known to man. And if you want to add in more, you can add in like the Fit Food New Zealand way that we have. If you don't want to eat more food or more fish or more beef or more eggs, throw a couple scoops into that every single day. I mean, I just finished a shaker of that earlier. Some chocolate Fit Food with a purple stick. So this is going to be another long night. Go to the website, checking on the backside of this thing all on Wednesday. But again, making sure you're getting proper protein does way more than just muscle mass. It maintains the brain. It maintains overall cognitive functioning. And remember, amino acids are the building blocks for neurotransmitters such as serotonin and dopamine. So right. If you're having mental issues, if you're having health problems, and you're having problems as far as you know with anxiety, look at your diet, look at the quality of protein you're eating, look at the supplements, throw in some B-complex, throw in some 5-HTP, throw in some organic eggs with the omega-3 fats and the bioavailable protein in it, because that will make a huge difference, I promise you, in your overall mental and physical health, Doug.
The product you just set aside moments ago, was that the GHI cleanse about
Fit Food. This is the chocolate whey protein. Okay. I like the chocolate better. The vanilla is okay. The chocolate tastes like a chocolate milkshake. I dialed in that formula years ago with Dutch chocolate, and it's the whey protein we get out of New Zealand. Really clean. New Zealand has the strictest bovine laws in the entire world. That's the only way I'll eat is or drink is whey protein from New Zealand. There's a couple other brands on the market that they must all get it from the same source. There's one main distributor in New Zealand that handles it.
How much protein per serving from that?
Because 21 grams of protein 21. Per serving. Honestly, it's two small little scoops per serving. Usually I'll do three scoops, which is about 30 grams of protein in a shake. It's great. It tastes great. It's digestible. Mixes with anything. But you got to make sure you're getting New Zealand whey. Majority of the whey on the market in the United States, usually from what I've seen, now it may have changed the last couple of years, comes out of China. In China, it's like a triple heated whey waste that they use from cheese manufacturing. They literally scrape it off the floor. I mean, I've talked to guys that have dealt. They scrape it off the floor, filter it, throw it in barrels or throw it in bags, and they ship it to the United States. Or they process it and package the cans in China for American companies, for American supplement companies. And then I've had people, so many people, including myself, I've used these big brands before, these big name bodybuilder brands, and you drink it, and your stomach bloats up and your stomach's all messed up and your gut's feeling bad. And I'm like, why do I feel like I just drank a giant, just like a cup of like sludge. I feel horrible afterward. Well, that's because you're drinking an unbelievably high heat, toxic whey protein that has who knows what in it. Your body can't assimilate it for easy protein digestion. It's trying to get it out of its system as quick as possible. So you are going to use whey, use New Zealand whey. That's why we use ours.
Yeah, and if you, I mean, you can also drink bone broth, but you know,
however, bone broth. It depends on the flavor if you like it. I don't really get salty. It's got to watch the sodium intake in
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you're watching your high blood pressure, sodium's not bad for you. Like good quality salt, like Redmond salt. But a lot of times the United States diet is loaded with sodium from everything we eat. So sometimes the bone broth will really spike your sodium levels up. You start drinking a lot of it. You got to watch that because you got to have salt in your diet. But you don't want to have so much salt that it starts putting too much pressure on the kidneys.
Right, which is why I would highly recommend your protein as a source of protein in addition to obviously if you want to supplement that, bone broth or whatever, that's fine. But
now you can add the collagen because the collagen's straight protein too. It's raw collagen peptides. That doesn't have anything in it. There's no flavor added to it, but it doesn't really taste that bad. And that's from grass-fed bovine here in the United States. That's a collagen peptide.
And that, like you said, it really doesn't have really any taste to it. So
it doesn't taste well. You can mix it in with a Fit Food. You don't even know you mix it in with a Fit Food. And that's why I didn't mess with the flavor on. There's some companies that come up with all these fancy exotic flavors for collagen. I'm like, I don't know why. It takes too much time and energy and money to come up with these crazy flavors. Just throw it in with whatever you're moving. Collagen's essential for skin, and it's essential for ligaments and soft tissue. And that's my post-workout stack every single time when I get on training is collagen with Fit Food. 3 scoops of Fit Food, 2 scoops of collagen. That will get your joints, your muscles, your ligaments repairing so much faster than it normally does. And it's digest so quickly, so easy, so absorbable, and doesn't bloat you. You don't feel bad on it. And then, you know, about an hour later after that, hour and a half later, I'll eat a meal later on after that. But that's excellent for CrossFit, for trainers, for runners, for jujitsu, for fighting, for motocross. I don't care what sport you're in. That is the ultimate post-workout, post-exercise. The collagen with the Fit Food, that hand down, man, you'll notice a difference in your repair recovery after that.
Fantastic. I love it. Awesome, Brower. Of course, Health Matter, teamhealthmasters.com. Let's just go with that website, teamhealthmasters.com. That is teamhealthmasters.com, folks. Visit there and get all of your health supplement needs from Team Health Masters. Best on the planet, I believe. That's really the place to go if you want quality health supplements. And, of course, you can listen to Ted and Austin Brower Show every morning. You can go to the Ted and Austin Brower Show link, which will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. There it is on your screen as well. So that's an information download every single day. I've got to tell you, it's necessary show prep. As well as they're on the cutting edge of all things health-wise and keeping an eye on what our government is doing now, changing with under RFK and seeing how that's going to play out. It's interesting, I think, to watch that. As you said here, we only have about together, we only have about 5 minutes left, 6 minutes left, Austin. So together, though, we covered a lot of ground today. And what else are you looking at? What's got your attention? I'm just curious.
One thing that it's got my attention, but I'm also irritated and sick of hearing about it, is this Trump-Russia. I don't know if this is theater. These guys are making a negotiation. And then little Zelensky, the faggot, walks up and is like, I'm not going to abide by anything. I'm not giving any property away. I'm not giving any territory away. I want more money. And I'm like, dude, I am just waiting for the day that somebody just slaps him upside the head. And they're like, dude, nobody likes you. Nobody respects you. Go home. Like, you're done. Your job as the court jester is over with in Ukraine. Put somebody in Ukraine that's for the people. Stop this massive wipeout of all the males and going in and sucking them in into this military conflict that's completely needless. And because this thing has turned into theater. It's turned into a Lockheed Martin Raytheon war. It's like, how much money can the military industrial complex make off Ukraine conflict? Shut it down. Concede. Negotiate with Russia. It's not going to stop. the military industrial complex keep getting fed, and they're just going to keep pouring weapons into Ukraine, saying run down to Yemen, and they're going to keep this conflict going. But enough bloodshed, man. There's too many good boys that have died over there in Ukraine. I mean, I've talked to guys here in Florida, Uber drivers and stuff. They've got out of Ukraine. They said, literally, dude, you get drunk at a bar, you go get arrested, next morning you wake up, you're conscripted. You're done. You're going to the front line. And the training they give them over there is abysmal. Abysmal what they're giving a lot of these guys as far as just regular ground infantry. And I'm like, stop this conflict, guys. Just stop. Because I don't know, that I saw it earlier on there, and it's like this back and forth. I don't know if it's legitimate or it's theater. It appears to me it's theater. They're just trying to keep the rhetoric going on. What do you think?
No, I totally agree with you on this. The meeting in Alaska that's coming up, reportedly coming up. Yeah, okay.
All that.
Okay. And Zelensky says, well, you know, maybe I'll drop by or whatever. Come on. Look, just get it over with already. And you're right. The bloodshed is beyond. It's incomprehensible.
It's a waste of human life. There's good boys over there. They're dying. I would get no greater joy than seeing Putin and Trump just straight slap Zelensky upside the head when he walks in and be like, no, you're done. Go sit in the corner, put your dunce cap on. You're done. It gets over with. I would laugh.
But the American people, though. Oh, my goodness. The American people are so brainwashed over this Ukraine. Say Ukraine good, Russia bad. We have to stand with Ukraine. I mean, come on. You know, that Samantha Power, Susan Rice, Victoria Nuland era thought process. Stop it. Because it's just, and Lindsey Graham too. I mean, what gosh, the shit?
The persecuting queer, he's annoying to me, dude. Well, these guys are just, you can tell the ones that get their funding and their Christmas presents from the military industrial complex, because every time there's a single spark that they can jump on to try to ignite more conflict, they start ringing the rhetoric bells of war. And I'm like, you can tell the guys that have never been in any significant conflict, never been in any type of serious fighting, and they just always want more war. The guys that have been in the trench, the guys that have fought, even the guys, if they didn't deploy, you've been in enough conflicts, enough fist fights, enough street fights. You're like, dude, we're done, man. If there's not a need for this conflict, we don't need to have this.
Yep.
It's just useless.
Yeah, in fact, it is. I can't believe the hour has gone with you. How great, how informative this has been. Give me a product I should get this week from you after the show. I'm going to go to your website. I have to stock up on a couple of things, but give me a product I should get, you recommend, maybe something I haven't gotten yet.
What you trying to do, Doug? You trying to get back in the gym again? Hit the weight room pretty good.
Trying to stay alive is what I'm trying to.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to try the, I think this time I'm going to try the collagen, the powder.
Try the collagen, dude. It'll help your joints. I'll tell you that right now. I mean, especially even if you don't exercise, your joints and your skin. The only side effect I get about it that I really don't like is I got to cut my fingernails over like 2 to 3 days. They grow at a rate I've never had in my life because I use so much collagen now. It's annoying to me because I don't calibrate. My fingernails real short. And so be prepared for that. You have to be trimming your fingernails every 2 or 3 days. You're like, oh. Now, women love it. It's great for them on that. To me, it's a nightmare, but it's just a side effect to keep my joints and my elbows, shoulders good.
The skin health, though, again, that's important. The skin's largest organ in your body. That toughens the skin as well.
What makes it stronger, it also helps with elasticity. And remember, too, Florida, we got the fantastic flesh-eating bacteria out in the Gulf right now, so you don't want to have any open wounds or sores when you go out in the Gulf out there in Florida. So make sure you're taking your collagen to heal up all your wounds so you don't get flesh-eating bacteria, because it's just another thing to die from in Florida that's gotten so nasty down here from the heat. So that's my
flesh-eating bacteria. Seriously, what are you guys doing down there?
I don't know. I really don't know. Florida's just kind of its own world. I mean, the gators keep getting bigger, the pythons keep getting longer, the meth heads keep getting spiked out more and bacteria keeps growing in the Gulf.
Oh my gosh. All right, Austin Brower, and again, I had the pleasure of talking with his father, Ted Brower. My goodness,
I'll get him back on the show.
Yeah, get him on the show. How great is that? So, but Austin Brower, teamhealthmasters.com, new rollout of a website. Give it a try. And folks, tune into the Austin Brower Show every single weekday morning and then Sunday too. So, do that. Go to the Austin Brower Show. The link will be in the program description box at agmpi.com or accessible by way of teamhealthmasters.com. Austin, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Great being on the show, my friend. You guys have a blessed night. I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right, sir. And folks, again, thank you for your patience yesterday. We had some issues. Okay, so with me, by the way, the let me just say this real quick. The FBI, this bombshell FBI timeline exposing political interference in Clinton crime family corruption probe. Here's my thinking. Put them in handcuffs, charge them, and then talk to me. Okay. Because I look, real quick, before Stan comes on, you know, Matt Taibbi was talking with, Chris Cuomo. There was an interview between Taibbi and Cuomo. Taibbi said that the current FBI DOJ officials are telling him that they're trying to get big indictments against key Russiagate conspirators. And it sounds like Taibbi and Solomon have the same top-level sources. John Solomon, you know, talking to people like Steve Bannon and such. Look, I got to tell you this, okay? This to me is nothing but show me. Okay, I'm tired of talking about it. We know who the players are. Cash Patel and Pam Bondi. If you're going to do something, do it now and do it and do it. And don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. All right, you can do it. You got the information. You have the documentation, and I'm sure you can do it. All right. So with that, I'm going to bring Stan Dale. Standale.com. That's his website. DEYO, Standale.com. It's been a while since he's been on with me. My goodness, I missed you, Stan, but go to his website, bookmark the website, and check out the headlines, check out his appearances, all right there for you to see at, if you're watching this on Rumble, and I hope you are. And if you're not, please subscribe to us on Rumble. All right. But there it is right there, Standale.com. Stan, how are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. Can you hear me?
Again, yes.
All right. I was having a little bit of trouble with my microphone here and feedback on it, but I guess we fix that now. Yeah, I'm well. It's a bit dry here on Mars, but anyway, other than that, it's fine. Good glass of water. Hey.
Well, I like your wheels there. So,
high tech, isn't it?
Yeah. Amazing. I want to know why we haven't been back to the moon just for the hell of it.
Yeah, you got to wonder. I mean, it was a very costly exercise, and with very crude computing power, what we've got on board now would make it a much safer journey, I think, for the astronauts, but that's just me. Yeah. Maybe they're saving it for the moon base they're going to build there shortly. Publicly, anyway. I mean, I'm sure it's already happened, but at least publicly it'll be made to our attention.
That big deal with the Van Allen radiation belt and stuff like that, is that a thing?
Now, it's how long you're passing through that intense radiation, especially in the South Atlantic anomaly field. But, you know, if you're not in the Van Allen belt for longer than, say, 5-10 seconds, it's not a big deal.
How long were the Saturn people in that belt?
The Apollo series, I don't know. Actually, it's a good question, but in the space station, they've learned to use various other things to shield against the radiation. And believe it or not, they have slots inside the space station where you put your waste material, your fecal material in there. And that is a shield against the radiation.
Huh.
It doesn't stop it, but it reduces it significantly. So there's some value to poop in order in orbit there.
And that's special. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why we haven't been back, but, you know, there's two technologies going on. There's a secret technology that's been going on for probably 200-300 years, getting better and better as it went along. And only what was allowed to come to the public is what we see. Since 1958, they've been putting a clamp on developments and releases of technology in the Library of Congress. I used to check there frequently to see what developments were occurring in magnetic, electromagnetics, and electrostatics, high voltage stuff. In 1958, everything changed. At that time, if you looked at the number of papers on electromagnetic effects, it was, say, about this one here. And over here was high voltage effects. And then in 1958, the high voltage effects started to go to almost zilch, while this grew over here in electromagnetics. And you know, all I can figure is that if you allowed people to read the papers and developments in electrogravitics, high-voltage physics, you'd have anti-gravity. You'd have free power and stuff from the gravitational field of the Earth. I mean, you know, they're messing around here with various ways to have coal and nuclear power, which is messy and dangerous. If we could take what we've already developed, which they will in the New World Order, but not for us right now. If we could take a gravity wave converter, which they had on board of the electrogravitic craft, they could collect electricity from the Earth's gravitational field. You set up an opposing fixed magnetic field in your craft, and the difference in the frequency of Earth's gravity versus the ship gravity produces electricity. And so you could virtually put one of these on a car, on a plane, a spaceship, anywhere, and convert gravity waves of Earth into pure electric current. I mean, that's neat, tidy. You don't need batteries. You don't need refueling stations. And all you're doing is moving through the gravitational field of the Earth. You're not dissipating any resources. You're just moving and collecting energy within the field that's already there. We could go across the galaxies with this.
Wow.
Tune the frequency to gravitational frequencies of galaxies. They're a longer wave, but, you know, would have a different size antenna and stuff. But it astounds me. We could have so much going on here in clean energy, never exhausting energy as long as the Earth, stays intact. But they're not doing it now. And
it sounds like we need to be taking hostages. I mean, I'm serious. If there are groups of people holding this back from us, then we need to take hostages and get this working in our favor. I mean, that would benefit all of mankind, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would properly release to the public. But for a second, let's you and I play the game again where we're the Illuminati, the people that control the finances and developments of the planet. If we were to allow various individuals and companies and countries to pull gravitational energy at their discretion, it would cause an imbalance in trade and production and stuff. It would cause little local wars against who's got the better, equipment or numbers of equipment. It's better to release this technology when you can control the use of it and the production of the gravitic converters. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. My neck is stiff tonight. You wouldn't want to turn this stuff loose without control. And really, you wouldn't want terrorist groups flying into your home and their gravity-powered craft and stuff like that. And President Reagan addressed this problem. He said, look, it's like, we've got a planet full of little children. These 196 countries, they all bicker with each other. And they're not going to settle down until, we get an invasion of little green men with super technology. He was right. He was saying, look, let's present a big threat to the nations of the world to force them into joining into a consortium to fight the threat. Right. And, global warming was a threat that nobody kind of really paid much attention to. But UFOs, flying saucers, aliens, they will pay attention to. And as we speak right now in Congress, there is a hearing going on getting the government to release more information. I was just watching it. Eventually they're going to let this come out to the public that we have been dealing with them, we have been making negotiations with them. What they're not going to tell you is that these alien creatures are what the Bible was calling the satanic rebels that were cast here into our universe from a universe parallel to ours. You know, the upper levels, if you wish. I think what the Bible called it, the third heaven, I think. We're in the middle heaven, and hell is down there in the lower heaven, in quotes. Yeah, look, you know, this whole thing about going after the Illuminati, what's going to be surprising to people is that we are becoming part of the Illuminati as far as informing on our neighbors and people. They're going to get to the point where they'll say, as they control the planet with digital money, look, if your neighbor has been hoarding food and weapons, oh, weapons are bad people. If you'll just tell us who they are, we'll reward you in Bitcoin or whatever, and life will be wonderful. And it's like they did in Nazi Germany. Yep. They started having people turn on their neighbors. If they had Jewish neighbors that had fine pianos and you know, were wealthy and stuff, they would turn them in to the Nazis, and they would get a percentage of the booty from that person's home and possessions. We're going to be spotters, and we won't be as Christians. Patriots. We're not going to do that on our neighbors, but the people that don't know better are going to do that, and you know, they don't want to work in the current generation. And so getting freebies from turning in your neighbor is going to be fun. So it won't be a good place to be. You won't want to live in that as a rational, you know, clear-thinking person.
Well, we lived through that during the COVID era, the time of COVID. Hey, they're having a party. There's seven of them instead of six. I mean, you name it. You saw the authoritarians come out of the woodwork during that period of time. And
unless you were Governor Newsom or something, you were in a restaurant having a good time.
There you go. Yeah, French Laundry. The Milgram experiments. I can see this coming down like that. You know, we have been assimilated. Well, not we, present company, but many have been assimilated and are being assimilated through behavior modification. And reward. Yeah.
Oh, hey. Man. Think about this. This metaverse stuff that's been coming, you know, the computer games where you could put on the goggles and, you know, you could manipulate characters in it. It's getting to the point now where a person can get a sensor suit all over his body and his eyes and his ears, and he can actually start to touch and feel people on the other side of the planet with these suits. The caveat is, of course, that they're about $10,000 a suit, and they'll get cheaper as they make more of them. But
I don't want to touch or feel anybody on this side of the planet. Why would I want to do it on the other side?
Well, it'd be disease free. It's electronically sending pressure sensors and sound and stuff to the other person's suit. I worry about this because even though it was in Star Trek as a holodeck, this kind of alternate reality that you create. It's going to allow people to go out and do, you know, lewd things with other people, under agreement, I suppose. But in the virtual world they create, they'll go out there and do things that are illegal, immoral, and whatever. And they will use Bitcoin out there in virtual reality, which will put a bigger load on our power systems to supply the Bitcoin. In Star Trek, the holodeck like that, It became an addictive thing, like a narcotic. Lieutenant Barclay on the Enterprise was caught up in staying in the holodeck in an alternate reality, which was more fun than doing his job on the ship. We're going to see that develop here, where people will want to spend more time in metaverse, you know, a fake reality that they create. Or that they use it someone else has created, instead of doing their real world job and being, you know, an effective member of the population, you know, working, creating. You remember $6 Million Man?
Yeah,
Steve Austin thing. We thought that was pretty, you know, advanced technology to have artificial legs and arms and an eye that could see in infrared in the dark and stuff. And that was what 50 years ago, I forget when it was, in the 70s, but we're there now. They're putting working chips in the brains of people that have been paralyzed from the neck down, and they're using this chip in their brain to control artificial limbs. And Elon Musk has been a pioneer of that, and he wants to have implanted brains. He's wanting to put in 20,000, you know, implanted people by the year 2071, was it he said? Anyway, he's put some time limit on it. But the point is that with these chips in your brain, already we're testing them to move artificial things outside the body. If you're connected to the internet like that, the internet has access to your mind. And you don't need an environmental suit with gloves and vision, you know, helmet or anything like that. If they tie directly into your neural system in your brain, not only can they feed data into your brain and trick it and say you're on an island in the South Pacific, because your visual cortex, your audio sensors, your tactile sensors will all be fooled by the data sent into your brain from the internet. And a beast computer could then influence what is right and wrong and what is moral in your mind by rewarding you when you think or do the right thing in this virtual reality they create. It to me, it is a very dangerous thing for altering the mentality of people without letting them know and letting them, making them by coercion to accept a new world order and a super AI computer in charge of their lives. God, you know, is our creator, and I trust that God and Son Jesus, they are going to make fair decisions in the running of this planet. They're not going to be wanting to take from anybody because they can give everything. They own and they have discovered and built everything on the planet. So they don't have a reason to cheat you or hurt you. That would be a being that I could trust in charge of world government. I wouldn't trust me because I know my failings. And I don't think any other human on the planet is going to be able to run a world government fairly.
I agree.
Sadly, it's going to be where we have an AI supercomputer connected to the brain directly of the Antichrist running the planet. Think about that. He's going to be so marvelous because he's connected to knowledge about everything with an AI. Isn't that freaky?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's freaky.
Well, anyway, it's
what have we done? What have we done?
Well, we're going to be moving into digital money very shortly. I was watching two of Trump's sons this morning on Fox News talking about their new financial company they've had for maybe 3 or 4 years. And it's in digital money, you know, like Bitcoin, but a different kind that they've set up. And they were talking about how we can move into that to solve economic crises and control the world economy through such things and avoid massive shutdowns and, bank collapses and things like that. In that show, they were saying that they were very much against banks controlling your money. That when we get this digital system, you will control your money and you can have your loans approved in the digital world quicker, like in a day, than you can in a real world banking system because of all the restrictions they have. Anyhow, they're in the forefront of developing digital currency.
Won't be long now. Then go ahead.
No, it won't be. It won't be. Wait for it. We're at the point where we're going to face a global meltdown of the economy, collapse.
Oh yeah.
And when such a thing happens, when you're depending on folding money and credit cards and stuff and banks, it takes time to rectify that. What are you going to do? Tell everybody your bank accounts are now worth a tenth of what they were before. And we're going to be using a new unit of money like the ERG or some, you know, ERG being energy, from the oil industry or from, coal industry or nuclear power. We're going to have a new dollar, but it won't be on paper. It will be an imaginary thing in digital world. My bank has already told me last year, get ready for your account to be, a lot easier to use because you'll have a number and it'll be like an instant credit card. You don't have to write checks. You can just do it with your number that you're going to get. So they've already told me, and this is bank administration here. And I've known it was coming, but it is coming a lot quicker than even I thought. You won't be able to rely on your gold and silver, Doug. because they'll do like the president did, you know, what is it, 1930s or so, where they outlawed, outlawed the ownership, private ownership of gold and silver, you know, some precious metals. So, in fact, if you do that, you're going to be a terrorist, and your neighbor's going to report you and get a reward for it.
Well, screw them. Come and get me.
Yeah, you know,
that's
the
way I look at it. I'm not going to go down easy. I'm telling you. I get this. I get it all. You know, I'm not in favor of any of this digital currency stuff, obviously. I do realize that there are competing interests for digital currency, and you've got to kind of show up, so to speak, to represent your side of things. But I'm none of that's good. None of it's good in my view, but that's just me.
Well, look, you know, if we had a rational, fair person being in charge of the planet, so that the knowledge that is transferred to this global computer system and money would be used wisely and fairly, that would be fine. Because in that situation, people could buy and sell all over the planet, I guess all over the solar system for that matter, but they could buy and sell without having to have things in their hand or their purse. They could do it with just electronics. It would be simple, it would be efficient, and I could see that it would make the economy work a lot faster and a lot more efficiently. But it's who controls that data that you have to give over to the central bank or central computer thing or whatever. That's the problem. It's a good logical idea if you can get rid of the moral problem of who administers it and controls it.
Exactly.
They're going to know everything about you, what you buy, what you sell, what you earn.
And they can turn that off, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's obviously that's a problem.
Well, you're going to be, you see, you come into this financial crisis, and we've all, you know, well, a lot of us anyway, in the real world, got mortgages and debts that we owe. And suddenly, the world collapses, the world economy collapses, and you don't have money anywhere. And you're going to be kind of very open to suggestion that says, oh, look, we aim to please. Bend over. No, we aim to please. Yeah. We've given you this digital system that we've been playing around with, but now we'll put it in its play instantly and preserve your money so you can eat and have shelter and pay your bills. Well, you know, what person's going to say, no, I don't want that help. I'm just going to die. You know, it's an offer you can't refuse. If you're here.
But then think about the illicit markets out there. Okay. The drug markets, weapons. I'm not talking about the nation state level stuff. I'm talking about the street level stuff. You're going to have, I think, a number of different. How would you describe that? Number of different platforms, rogue platforms out there, where perhaps gold and silver in that venue might be used, or whatever is decided upon as the medium of exchange. If it's old money, you know, it would still have value. Because you obviously, if you're engaged in nasty stuff, you're not going to go through the system, right?
No, but if you're discovered, I mean, let's face it, moving metal, you know, bars or coins or whatever is going to be problematic because people will make mistakes and you'll see it happening and you'll turn them in as criminals and whatever. But eventually, the market will dry up because the corporations that own the planet at that time are going to limit trading and availability of these weapons and the ammunition to use in them. It's they're going to have virtual 100% control of what we can buy and sell and use.
Okay, one additional question on that, Stan, because you mentioned gold and silver. It's always, since beginning of time, held this value. How would it not, even in that system, hold its value? Gold and silver, I'm talking precious metals, whatever.
It's going to be because of the law that will come into play, and the penalty will be so severe if you trade in it you know, your neighbor finds you've got it, the penalties are so great that you will throw them into the street as cankered, like the Bible says, during the time that we're going to here, the tribulation. Gold and silver will be thrown into the street by people as, you know, rotten, useless. Now, okay. The only way I can see that could happen is that the value of it is zero because the penalty for owning it outweighs having that asset to trade with. People will still probably try it, but I mean, you know, it's going to be really dangerous to use it.
Yeah.
People will do it, I'm sure. I mean, you can still barter and trade. You know, I've got this gasoline generator here. I'll trade you that for, you know, 10 sacks of potatoes or whatever. And that kind of bartering will still take place, I'm sure. But the gold and silver will be specifically targeted by the world order saying you cannot use that as a medium of trade. It is illegal, and you will go to jail or have your head chopped off, whatever the penalty is. You can't do it. It'll be so severe that people will just say it's useless to try.
Well, get your keys out or sharpen the blade. Take your pick, because I ain't doing this. I don't like it when my car talks to me or beeps at me. I don't like it when I like regular keys for ignitions and for doors. I like folding maps, not GPS. Well, GPS is kind of helpful, but beyond that, no, thank you. I'm a Luddite, so.
We're in a situation here, locally here in the United States, where we're in threat of a civil war. Now, the left-wing news media have been talking about this openly already, that we are on the verge of a civil war here in the United States. Now, if that kind of resistance to the current administration occurs, then as we fragment in this country, he's going to have to declare martial law, use the military in a civilian situation, understandably. But what's going to happen is there will be resistance, you know, armed resistance that will form in the United States against the government. And then there will be armed resistance between people who don't like Mohammedans, you know, Islamics, who don't like Jews or Christians or Hindus or whatever. There's going to be a multifaceted civil war in this country. Everybody that has a gripe against their neighbor for some reason is going to be at their throat. We're seeing that with all the fake news coming out about, you know, who's rioting, who's not rioting, and you know, who's correct in the handling of the government. Common sense should prevail, but it's not, and it's not because people are totally dumb. It's just they're uneducated. We're in the middle of a communist overthrow of the United States. It's been brewing since World War II. In fact, probably before that, as I recall, but it didn't gain any traction until after World War II was over. My father and his brothers, my uncles, they formed Timely Publications, a company there in Dallas, and they put out millions of books warning people, this is what's happening. Here's the details of it. Here's the history of communism and communist overthrow. Here's the history of fifth column of spies within the, you know, your population here. And we tried. We tried for a long time, and we reached a lot of people, but not enough. People have gone back to sleep. We've had a couple generations since then, and they don't know that we're being attacked from within. They don't know that we're being conditioned in our schools and our you know, religious colleges and things like that. They don't realize that we're being brainwashed. And so, you know, they're going to be easy prey for what's coming.
Communism is really the backbone of demonic worship. I mean, Satanism, if you will, and I use that sparingly, but in order to propel the satanic agenda, the vehicle that will be used, in my view, will be communism, because because really anti-capitalism, anti-nuclear marriage, everything that's good is wrapped in communism. And we've been infiltrated so much, folks. You know, and I think about this a lot. Every institution in this country has been infiltrated by the communist electorate or the communist, the ideologues. I mean, the coup against Donald Trump, that was communist inspired. If you really get down to the ideology of the people involved, it was communist inspired. Look at Brennan, who voted for a communist back in 1980. Okay, just saying. Okay, so he obviously a communist ideologue. So you're right, Stan, and you were ahead of your family was ahead, and socialists were ahead of the game back with subsequent to World War II. And you're right in its timing. So we had, but people, it blows my mind where you see people wearing a rainbow flag with a Ukrainian, you know, lapel pin, if you will, talking about trans rights and not realizing that they're carrying the water for the communist agenda. That's what this is all about. The anti-Christian communist agenda, because you can't have Christianity and communism in the same breath. I mean, you can, but you're an asshole if you do. Okay. You're a moron.
This is,
yeah. Go ahead, sir.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, the communist overthrow has a multi-faceted attack on us, but one of the main things was to educate a generation of children and then their children and hit them in the colleges and in the religious institutions and in the colleges to alter the thinking, you know, alter the norm. And it's so subtle, you know, with games, with movies, you know, the morality is changed vastly by movies now. And, you know, we've been looking at some of the older movies on the satellite here, mm-hmm. some of the how good they were, you know, just, you know, plain old dialogue rather than programming. And this is what the communists have done. They're patient. They'll take one step backwards for two steps forward. They'll back off on this issue and then they'll get it another way, two steps. It'll be a step ahead. And they're everywhere. And I don't see an easy solution to this. I really am sad that President Trump and his administration have had to have this dropped on, because it's an almost impossible thing to win now. It's gone on for so long. They've infiltrated so many departments and organizations that you just can't rout them out. And I think we're going to see a collapse of the United States internally with this infighting. And while we're bitching at each other and shooting each other, China and Russia, and maybe Iran will join them, will come to the United States, invade us, and destroy us because mm-hmm. we're weakened. A house divided definitely cannot stand against the enemy.
Since you brought that up, if I can ask this, what is your take on the movement of the National Guard into D.C., at least for the 30-day period, under the auspices of cleaning up the crime there? Good thing, bad thing?
No, I think it has to be done. I really do, because the police forces have been so infiltrated and disheartened, you know, demoralized by the left that has had control of them for so long, that we need to go in and clean up the police force and turn it back over to them and get out of there. But right now, we're looking at a foreign invasion of the communists. And we have to put our troops in there to stop that. There's just no other way around it. And, you know, I'm sorry that President Trump has to make that decision and have it on his conscience, but he has to do this. There's no other way to negotiate a clean out of the law and order. The justice system is so corrupt. The judges are so bad. I mean, it's going to require some pretty painful stuff. And Trump warned us about this. He said, I'm going to make these changes. I promise I'm making to you. It's going to be painful in the beginning, but I'm going to do it. And they didn't understand what painful meant. Those of us that know about this understood. And it for a human to solve these problems just in the United States, it's going to be horrific challenges, moral dilemmas and that kind of thing, and political suicide in some cases. But when you look at on a global scale,
I mean, here in the U.S., and I know we have people in Canada listening to us, and Australia, New Zealand, and wanna in the U.K., thank you very much. Japan, too, which is interesting. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being part of the conversation. But here in the U.S., I mean, we've got to, I don't know, it's kind of like we should be setting the example, but we're not. at today we're not, but we should be. Look, or where they left us. Go ahead.
There were philosophers in the last century that wrote about the long-term plan to take the United States and turn it into a race of tan by bringing in South Americans and Africans and merge so we don't have white and black, we have tan.
And cross-racial, interracial marriages as well. Or
Yeah.
And whatever. Yeah.
And we're there. They've been letting them just run into this country. And of course, when we break the voting machine, make it illegal the way they do it, you know, people that don't even have a right to vote are getting on the rolls and getting counted. We're doomed. We can't do it by normal democratic processes because they've killed that, which is going to force martial law. I mean, damned if you do, damned if you don't. I've run through this scenario many times, even when I was down in Australia during the war strikes, the port strikes down there, where the workers were wanting more money, and so they struck everything. And, you know, I knew dock workers there. They would run a forklift into a crate that had, say, a piano in it or a very expensive audio system, and they'd say, oh, damaged goods, insurance company will pay it, and they'd take it themselves and either use it or sell it. And I was thinking about this one morning driving down into Perth from my home in the hills there. And by the time I got to town, running scenarios of what I would do if I were in charge to get rid of that dock strike, I'd lined them all up on the dock and shot them. I mean, that's terrible to say, but that's where I went. I couldn't figure out a way to negotiate the settlement of that. So I would have been a bad dictator in that country. Anyway,
For a second there, I thought that's what you said you did.
Oh, no, I was thinking it.
Okay. We missed that chapter of your life, but okay.
No, and I was ashamed of myself, but looking at it logically, when they're being illogical and they are doing what they can to destroy your country, they had to be removed.
Man. At this point, Stan, I don't want to say I'm pushing for a civil war, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with a revolution. I'm okay with a civil war. Now, and I know exactly what I'm saying. That doesn't mean that I want to see it, but I'm thinking to myself, how else are we going to clean this mess up?
I know.
That's a genuine question. How else are we going to clean this up?
If you looked at the history of mankind, when have we never had wars? We're always fighting for resources from the other guy until we've now resolved into 196 or 7 nations, but really blocks of either socialist or capitalist. And that's the final conflict. So we're not going to solve it except by, as you say, a civil war or a revolution. The Hopi prophecy keeper in the Shungoba tribe told Holly and I in 1997 or 6 or 7, and when we were visiting them, that we're going to have a civil war here in the United States. It won't be a simple one. It won't be rich against poor, black against white, Jew against Christian, Arab, or whatever. It's going to be multi-sided, multifaceted. And so you won't know who to trust. And I said, during that time, we will be invaded by China and Russia and a Middle Eastern nation. They didn't name who, but one of them we think is probably Iran. And they said, after that internal conflict, when these guys invade us, they're going to destroy our major cities and our economy, our power distribution. And then all of a sudden, when you think that they have everything they need, they will stop around the front ranges here of Colorado, and everybody will withdraw from the United States and go back home and leave us alone after they've destroyed us and looted what they want from us. And the Hopi said, then the people, the Sioux, the Cherokee, the Hopi, Navajo, everybody will move up into the Four Corners region and start a new nation of man here with the survivors who come out of the invasion, the Europeans that are, Americans, normal Americans. And they've even said that. And that was in 1996, I believe it was. That was so far ahead of the curve. I mean, I talked about it all along the way, for years. I've talked about what they told us. And people at the beginning thought, never happen here. And here we are.
Well, when you think about it, bringing all of these criminals and surge the border, as Biden said, and bringing all these people into this country, Mayorkas, Biden, all of these treasonous bastards that should be hung from lampposts and, on Main Street or on the Main Street in Washington, D.C. In my opinion, of course. But to me, it was sure, it was about voting. It was about tipping the scales in favor of the blue and all that stuff. But that was just a side benefit. The intent, I think, was to topple us from within by these people. And you know, we cannot look. You import the third world, you become the third world. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. And I think we have to get them out, or we have to fight. We have to fight against the invaders of our country. But we can't do this effectively without taking down the leaders, the people who brought these people into this country. We have to take them out as well, and possibly first. Or in my view, it should
like
be
the Italians
first.
Did with Mussolini, they hung him up in the street.
There you go.
But are we going to be able to get people to organize, in time and know how to be organized and trained to do this? I don't think we're going to be able to stop it. It's too late in the game now.
Well, yeah, I know. We can try, though. I mean, the organized and boy, I'll tell you, if you watch a couple of the Death Wish movies, okay, one person can make a difference. Folks, I'm not, look, I get it, it was a movie, but one person can look in real life, Bernie Goetz, in the subway shooting, that was kind of rather, had some interesting effects if you study what happened afterwards. But anyway, yeah, no, I get what you're saying, Stan. I do. I do. I don't know. I don't want to ramble, but
no, it's just what we're feeling here. I mean, we're not alone. There are a lot of us out here that are rational thinkers that are saying this isn't the right way. We need to go to the, like we were originally formed 250 years ago. But the problem is bridging where we are now to that return to that organized chaos, the organization of the states that became the United States, that bridge from here to there is not a steady one, not a safe right. one. There are so many things. I've tried to think, if I were President Trump, what I would do first and how much of what I would do to try to bend the direction of our society in the correct direction. And there are so many ifs and buts in that it's a nightmare. And I know that President Trump is a businessman. He operates, mentally on, balancing, input, output, so that we have a balanced economy of reason and of money and that sort of thing. But it's such an infiltrated civilization we've got that if you push here, it will cause a disaster over here that you have to undo or do. And there are so many places that it's going to pop up and grab us that he's just buying us time, and I don't know what we're going to do with the time. And with the dealings with China and Russia at the moment, I mean, he's not being able to corral Putin like he said he would. Putin's being stubborn because he's got the backing of China. Yeah. It's terrible. Their thing in Gaza, for instance, of course, Ukraine is really bad, too. I mean, 5,000 people a week, or is it a day or a week that they were losing now? 5,000?
I think it's a week, but don't quote me.
Yeah, but anyway, it's too many. And it's on both sides. He's sacrificed several hundred thousand of his soldiers, Putin has. And then, of course, Zelensky is not helping the issue by his steadfast refusal to let any settlement take part of Ukraine as part of the deal. He said, I'm not going to give up anything, and it's ours. They can't have it. Well, it used to be part of the Soviet Union, and so we know that Putin is wanting his breadbasket down there on the southeast coast of Ukraine. And, we're not going to solve that easily. It's going to either lead to a war that gets really nasty between Ukraine and Russia, or it's going to be a world war drawing the United States in to stop Russia. It is a nightmare of problems on the planet. I'm sure many people that have been following the news are thinking, oy vey, what do we do? I mean, where do you push first? And, you know, if you don't read the Bible and don't see in the prophecy how it's going to play out, what the end of the book is, then you're going to just want to cut your wrist or something. It is a time to realize we're going to die. Every person lives and dies. And it's where you go when you die, if you go, that you need to address. I've been out of my body. I've nearly died. I've been out there. So I know that there's the existence out there, that I have arms and legs and I still exist and think. So I'm not afraid to be saying I'm going to go and be with the creator of this. I'm going to die from this body but live in another one. But for people who haven't understood that and who haven't signed on to Jesus, you know, say I'm on your side, they're going to be desperate. They're going to be frightened.
I think true atheists, and I would bet there would be very few true atheists. You're either, I don't want to sidetrack on that, but imagine going through life being a true atheist where, you know, I mean, you believe that this is it. You die in the story. That would impact your everything, every action during the day, every day of your life, you would be impacted by that bias, by that ideology, right?
I mean, yeah, you'd be afraid. You'd be wanting to collect resources to preserve your life because this is it, you know, and there's no hope in that situation. There are people like me, there are thousands of people who've had near-death experiences through the ages that have come back into their bodies and said, look, here's a fact. You live outside this body. We leave it and we have arms and legs and we go to a place of great peace. And this is the way that the Creator has allowed us to have a witness to the fact that we need to recognize that we live after this. Satan or Jesus.
Maybe you can help me with this. Sometimes I wonder, why did God go through all this trouble? He didn't have to. Why did he go through all this trouble?
Well, he needed to create replacements, first of all, for those who rebelled in the heavens against him and followed Satan in the rebellion against him. There was a third part of the angels up there in the upper universe around us. They sided with Satan and were cast out. But they are needed to perform, you know, maintenance of the creation of the parallel universe, whatever happens there. And so he's replacing the lost numbers, but he can't just say, you're going to be one of my followers. He's going to let people choose of their own free will to follow what he has said is the law for all creation. And so to get people to freely love and follow him, our creator, he has to give them the chance in an open playing field here. And that's why Satan is allowed to test us. The temptation started in the Garden of Eden. You know, I've asked that question many times, but it's basically to replace the numbers in the parallel universe in which we are a virtual reality bubble within that. At least that's the way I see it. And, you know,
it does make sense, I guess. Boy, those who rebelled in heaven, not smart. Mm-mm, no.
You know, time passes faster in the upper level in the heavens than it does here. They live longer, but they live faster. Say 1,000 years of our time, or sorry, of their time might be, you know, a blip on our radar. They lived much longer so that our existence, they could poke down into the world and see us in slow motion. They can pick moments of time that we aren't even aware of. So there's a difference in time, which allows these things to happen in the upper level that, you know, to us seem like happened quick, but it's not. It's the difference in the timing of how the physics of that kingdom versus our kingdom work. They see us in slow motion. We see them as, you know, don't realize that they lived for so long.
All right, now you're hurting my head, but okay.
Well, inside a saucer with anti-gravity in the core of it, the people inside can turn a corner at 20,000 miles an hour. Why? Because they are living faster. They're consuming time faster. So that to them, a turn at 20,000 miles an hour can be amortized in their frame inside the field over maybe 5,000 times. So it's a much less G turn than normal to them. To us, looking at them in a blip, they're around that corner at 20,000 miles an hour, and we're amazed. And it's that way relative to where Jesus and the Creator live. And that's why when Jesus left, he said, look, I'm leaving, but I'm leaving the Holy Spirit here with you to take care of you. There's a time difference. And so we communicate using the Holy Spirit on our time level versus having to wait and get a message up and back here. Anyway,
I actually kind of understood that. Okay.
Well, I didn't even have a beer, and I think I understand it.
Interesting.
I poke into these things, in my quiet moments. I ask these questions, and same as you do. And that's the thing I've come up with. That may not be right, but that's how I see it.
Well, I think you're more right than wrong. Sandale from sandale.com. Folks, make sure you bookmark his website. Follow him. His appearances everywhere that he does go. Follow him. It's right there on his website, sandale.com. It's going to be in the program description box for the show at HagmanPI.com. And that's sandale.com. And so pleased to have him. It's been a while. He's looking good. I trust you're feeling well, Stan. I have to ask you.
I had a bout, so did Holly this last week, with some kind of intestinal thing that lasted a day. But other than that, I'm just older and a bit slower, but still here.
Well, yeah, I think we're all a little bit older and maybe slower. Yeah, definitely slower. But sometimes slow is good, depending on what you're doing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, at least we can, you and I, discuss these things freely and try to figure out our environment, and what's happening and explain it. Whereas in communist countries, you're not allowed to do that.
And, to think how close we came, and really we're still fighting that communist element of censorship here. It's not as overt or obvious as it was in 2020, 2021. But it's still there. And I think back, people get tired of hearing me say this, but I think back to the mid-teens when we got kicked off of
YouTube.
Well, YouTube, that too. But who hosted our website? I don't even know. It was a big... GoDaddy. Thank you, Eric the Tech. GoDaddy. Yeah, we got kicked off of GoDaddy. And why? We said, why? They said, you got 48 hours to get your stuff off or it's going to blitz it. Well, why? Just because you're not a good fit. Okay. So, but that is still going on. But you have to watch because there are golden children on both sides, and even the people in the middle don't really make a difference, but on both sides there are golden children, untouchables, where hey, they'll say certain things, the same things that we said, but they're allowed to exist on left-wing platforms, and the same with the right. I guess what I'm saying is we're still seeing that communist, that intolerance. The people who say they're the most tolerant or the most intolerant on the planet. Well, we have to start becoming intolerant. I'm intolerant of homosexual marriage. I'm intolerant of this trans crap that's going on. Yeah. I'm intolerant of killing children in the womb. I'm intolerant of the change of our language. I can go on and on, but you get the idea. Yeah. But we're still fighting that, Sam. We're still fighting that. I didn't mean to take the time. Go ahead, sir.
How much time we got left now, Eric?
We got about 5.5 minutes.
Oh, good, good. Another thing that crossed my mind, and this is from an academic point of view. Remember when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
Okay. What language was it written in?
Well, wait a second. I wasn't personally there, so although what language was it written in?
For instance, Hebrew didn't exist in the time of Moses.
That's true.
So what was it written in?
Sanskrit?
Don't know.
Don't know.
They could have had cuneiform because Moses was exposed to that in the libraries there in Egypt, you know, as a member of the royal household. It could have been in some language they learned there in the halls of Egypt, but it certainly wasn't Hebrew. And so you wonder, with the details that are in the Old Testament, particularly in the first five books, the details that are in there are from the time of Eden. Adam actually signed his report about Adam and Eve there in the garden in the book of Genesis. You'll see these are the generations of Adam. These are the generations of Abraham. And that means these things I write, this is the history of me, Abraham. This is the history of me, Adam. And so that data had to come from an older source. And I think probably from the Sumerian area over in the Gulf of Persia, Arab Gulf now. They had means of putting down details in cuneiform. Maybe that was it, and it was then later translated to the new language Hebrew after they occupied the Holy Land. But, you know, because of the arguments that people have over the nuance of what was written, I remind them, look, you know, it went through one or two language translations to get to us, yeah, to Sanskrit or cuneiform, to New Hebrew, to English and to Dutch and whatever. I mean, these things concern me. I look for accuracy in the older records because that's what I trust more than recent records.
Right.
Yeah.
Good point. Excellent point.
One rabbi told me when I asked him that, he said, look, the rumors or the folklore about the breaking of the Ten Commandments tablets, when Moses stood up there and threw them down and broke them, he said people down underneath him there on the ground where the tablets hit and broke said that as it hit the ground, the writing on it danced into the air and tumbled and then disappeared, and the face of the stones were empty. Now, that may have been true if the tablets were holographic, you know, like crystalline structures that stored information and could project it in the air at command. It was a fascinating thought in that we lost the vast library that God had given to Moses, and he could call it up, and it would appear in the air if that were allowed to continue. Obviously, it wasn't, and Moses carved by hand a second tablet. And then I found out that the Ten Commandments that he used were part of a list in Egypt of about 100-some-odd things that you should do to have a stable community, you know, like the laws for good behavior in Egypt. And those Ten Commandments are found in that lot. So did he extract that himself and put it on there, or what? I mean, there are just a lot of unanswered questions.
That first part where the holographic scenario is very interesting.
Mm.
Think about that. Wow.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are things that happened back there that obviously we're not going to know until the Creator himself comes and tells us this is how it happened, you know, the mechanism and whatever and why. Yeah. I there are just a lot of unanswered questions, and I see wars are fought over these things and interpretations of them, and I'm saddened by that because really there should be a peaceful way for beings to live in harmony. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, but we're always going to have a demonic element infused in our populations, plural. So, I mean, hey, even Iraq, and what was the real reason there? We don't have enough time to get into all the twists and turns of that, but
I know
a lot of things.
It's, you know, I want to know more about our Creator and the reasons He's done things. And, you know, we can only know just so much. And when the time comes, He will explain. It says that in the good book, that He will explain the yod and the tittle. Everything will be explained. And I'm looking forward to that.
I am too. And we can ride that wave together, folks, in the chat. I want to thank you very much for joining us in the chat at Rumble. Subscribe to us at Rumble. Go to Hagman Report on Rumble. Just